John, how you doing, man? I feel like I haven't seen you in a while.
Doing well, Steve. How are you? Can you hear me?
Good, man. How's training? Yeah, I gotcha.
Pretty good. I discovered today I've been doing my split squats wrong.
Were you doing them like this?
I was stepping back after each squat and then going back
Oh.
into position rather than holding a position or just doing the squatting down.
Oh, almost like a reverse line.
Yeah, a lot more like a forward lunge down into a squat and then coming back. So,
Gotcha.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't, it's like it takes longer and then I don't have enough time to finish the workout. And so it was nice to discover that after the fact today.
Yeah. Different kind of evil when once you get them down, right?
Right.
Elias, is that how you pronounce your name? I haven't seen a call before, man.
Yeah, it's for me. I'm in Los Angeles, so it's 3 o'clock. So usually it's midday work day for me.
Okay.
So if I get a break, so luckily I'm actually working from home. I just got home like 5 minutes ago, so it worked out
Awesome.
great. Yeah.
Awesome. How long you been in MI?
Originally, I think it was in 2023, and then I signed up again in March
Okay.
with Chris.
Chris?
Yeah.
Awesome. Chris
Yeah.
is my man. I love Chris. That's awesome. How are things going right now?
Good, good. I think I'm almost down about maybe like 18 pounds and stuff.
Good
And
for you.
yeah, so
Was
it's been
that
going great.
well, that was the goal command.
Yeah, definitely. I was probably started at 240, right now I'm cruising at 221, 222. Still
Okay.
want to go try to see if I could hit maybe 210,
Awesome.
just fat wise and stuff. So try to get the blood markers, working with Greg on nutrition wise and supplements. And
Yep.
that's been a huge help.
Amazing.
And so that, and just Chris is working my ass off, ownership, really.
That's amazing, man. Yeah, Chris is your guy for that for sure. That's awesome. Yeah, dude, that's awesome. Like, it's so cool to come on here, actually. Like, I don't get the opportunity as much as I used to host these calls. So whenever I do, I come on here and there's new faces and seeing what you guys are doing and all the success. It's always great because unfortunately I only get to see my clients. So that's awesome, man. What was the main goal coming in? Was it mainly weight loss?
I think it was just mainly weight loss because of my blood markers being borderline diabetic
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah. So I actually got the A1C. I think it was at 6.3, 6.4, back in March. I got it done the labs maybe a few weeks ago now, and it's down to like a 5.9.
Okay,
So
awesome.
which is great. So
Seeing
it's
amazing
been
stuff.
better. Yeah, G
What
we switched
happens?
GI track, so and it's been
Yeah,
helping.
I was gonna say it happens so fast once you get it going. It's just like it's that initial kick starting. Like you need to just not be afraid to kind of dive into it, and it can be a little much at first, but once you get into it, it's so fast.
Yeah, I could tell. It definitely just changing the diet and the macros and stuff, just focusing on that. And I could see the inflammation starting to just go down just visibly and stuff. So it's been good.
Yeah, I've had a couple one-on-one clients I've worked with in person, and like they're even blown away. Like just like they're so used to having knee pain, or they're so used to just having these issues that have just kind of defined them over the years, right? And
Yeah.
then you work with them on a diet, and then they're like, "Why? How did my knee pain go away because I gave up these foods?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's
Yeah.
not always the case, but it's cool, right?"
Yeah. The aches and pains have been like much less. So the experiences and stuff, or the demands I'm able to put on my body now. I'm at 50. I put more demand now at 50 than I did at 40, and I feel better now than then. So I think it's been in the short amount of time in the 6, 7 months just being with the program and stuff, it's been huge.
That's
So
incredible, man. That's awesome.
yeah.
Ben,
So
you
we
made
really
it.
goofed on this logistics here, boys. I was expecting the host. We had some miscommunication. I'm sitting here waiting. I'm like, where is everybody? Anyways, my bad.
That's awesome. Where are you, Ben?
I'm in Toronto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
Just staying
awesome.
close.
I was there last week, or not last week, a week and a half ago. I came in really quickly. I had a flight and the Air Canada strike screwed us, so we had to drive. So it ruined the time.
Oh man, I wish I would have known.
32 hours in a car.
With the kids?
No. No, I'm not sure if I could do that anymore. The last time I did that with the kids, Ash was like a baby and we barely made it through.
That's
The
a long
last
time.
two hours he woke up and it was a fun
Guys
time.
drive straight now.
We did
That's
through the
nice.
night. It was pretty bad because like that's a funny story I'll tell you sometime, but like about like 10 hours in, Beata was supposed to take over and she's like, "I'm good." And then she gets in the
Jesus Christ.
driver's seat and she's
Oh.
like and I remember I was like, "You can't tell me this." And so I had to drive for the rest of the time. And I could tell I was like falling asleep. So I grabbed a hold of my leg and I pinched it and I twisted for about 5 hours straight. And I got out of the car and I had a big blood blister welt on my leg.
I've done so many things to stay awake. So stupid. I'll put the window down, put my head out the window. I put the music on really loud. Like, do breath work. It's crazy, man. Like, just like, it's never that much of a rush, right?
No, exactly. Yeah,
Yeah.
man. Did you want to take things? Or you want me to go as planned, man?
Well, man, because we have so few people here, what would probably be the best use of time is just go one by one and like, how can we support you? So why don't you, if you want to do a little bit about muscle building and fat loss, I think that was the target. You can do that, and then we can just help everyone individually. I like to just make a little time to talk to everyone individually. Elias, great to see you. John, great to see you. Everyone else, I see your Mike. Good to see you, man. Thanks for being here. So yeah, Steve, I'll let you take the lead, man, and then I'll just hang up.
Yeah, well, what I was going to talk about is honestly just like the things that I found that were really like high leverage items for me when I was doing my cut that I
Yeah.
think could be beneficial for every single person on this call, just because it's more so just managing the variables. So just like looking at, for example, weight loss or muscle gain as just being consistent with managing effective movement, sleep, your diet, digestion, and then your workout intensity, what that all means, and understanding that it's leveraging it based on the goal. And that's the biggest thing I want to make sure that people understand. So John, you've been on calls with me before, man. You kind of heard this spiel in some regard, because it's not dissimilar to understanding like tracking progression for straight up hypertrophy. But when it comes down to movement, it's like first off, understanding it that it's all about managing energy. And a lot of people get consumed with calories. And then they get into this trap where they're wondering why they're not losing weight, even though they're in a calorie deficit, but they just don't understand calories are just one part of the equation. So what I was actually hoping to get people to kind of pop on for and just let me know is like, what are their thoughts? What are their struggles with dieting? What are the things that they find they feel they, dig themselves into?
So I'll tell you what. Before you do that, I'd like to make some sort of predictions and see if everybody gets this. So the biggest mistakes I see people making is assuming that they need to go into a massive caloric deficit and assuming they need to do more. And I'm like, hold on a minute. That's not always the case, right? That people are like, oh, that's the path. I have to move more and eat less. And like, that's not always the case, right? So it's understanding the nuance in that. And like, what do you mean I don't have to move more and eat less? Well, there's so much nuance within that. I think it's a really big mistake that most people cut their calories really quickly. I mean, depending, it's all relative. Like, if you're overeating like crazy, then yes. But like, there's a lot more in it than just the simple like, oh, I'm going to drop my calories a little bit and do some extra cardio.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've often thought of like a person like my grandmother when I've thought about like dieting and how uncomfortable it can be for somebody, because like she's like in her 90s now, and so somebody told her to lose weight and to just go at it like that, she'd be like, okay, so eat what? Like nothing, because she has like no muscle mass now. So like, what is she gonna do? Like that's not a viable option. Her life would be horrible, and she probably is gonna speed up like end of life. And so what she needs to do is start moving. That's the answer for her, and try to build muscle and try to increase quality of life any way possible, right? And so we can kind of take that and look at it in this process for ourselves. I think about it like that analogy from Shrek where he says onion or ogres have layers, and I think of the same thing. It's like these things we're trying to manage, they all have layers, right? So we have movement, and like what is movement? It's like understanding yourself in this system that you have that's affect your effective day. So your steps. Where are you moving? What are the patterns you find yourself into? Because we tend to be systems unto ourselves, and every single person kind of regulates differently. Like Ben might be this guy who just eats a meal and then just is off, and then somebody else might eat a meal and just pass out on the couch. And are you aware of how you kind of sit in this? And that's part of dieting. The same thing goes for sleep. It's like it's not just getting to sleep. It's like, are you aware of how many hours you get deep sleep, hours you get REM. All these different things, and are you waking up? Are you actually, opt or priming yourself for a good night of sleep? This layer approach is, it goes for diet, it goes for movement, it goes for your workouts, tracking intensity, all that kind of stuff, so you can get better results. But I love what you just said, Ben, about how people they dig in too deep, because like my favorite approach myself personally is starting out as high as possible. Like I'll start with like 4,000 calories, and I'll be like, what happens?
So here's a little analogy that may help everybody. So imagine you have these little engines, mitochondria, little engines,
And when you eat, the engines spin faster. When you exercise, the engines spin faster. These little like turbines, right? So I eat, stuff starts going through the turbine. I move, stuff starts going through the turbine. I go in the sunshine, stuff starts going through the turbine. But what happens when I take out the food? I pull the food down. Well, the turbine spins a little less because it doesn't have the same energy to go through. And so when those start spinning a little less, your desire to move is a little less. So that spins a little less again. And you're like, oh, I'm going to sit on the couch and I'm going to end up resting more. So it's this self-perpetuating loop of like the engines that are supposed to speed up and burn through calories and fat are actually slowing down. So we have to look at like, well, what can I do to speed these little engines up? And this is literally your mitochondria, right? They're these little like electricity producing organelles. And the electron transport chain is like causing proton gradients to cause electrical charge. And that's literally what's happening. So if you're like, oh, I'm going to eat less and hopefully that's my strategy, those engines will just slow down because they don't want to expend as much. So you have to look for more ways to keep those things moving all the time. Hopefully that's sort of like a useful way of thinking of it.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you said that because that was the first thing I was going to say. When I was trying to write this up and just give myself some notes to make sure I cover this to the guys, the first thing I'm always thinking about for these calls is like, what can they take away? And what can everybody kind of go into their workouts or the day tomorrow with me, like actually action as a thing and then implement it and see how it affects their life. And so I'm thinking it's like the main areas I want to make sure you guys can manage are is your movement, your sleep, your diet, and like breaking diet down into calories and digestion, and then looking at workout intensity and like how to track that as again something that you can rely on. So the first thing being movement, it's like yeah, we have steps. Often that is, but like what are your steps? Are you aware of like the intensity of your steps? I don't want to say intensity is the wrong word, but are you smelling flowers or are you moving with intent, right? And then where are you moving? Are you moving after meals or are you moving like on the treadmill and that's it? And then you're just, lethargic all day. These things matter. And I'm always kind of playing with this kind of stuff myself. I've done little tests and I've done the test where it's like, hey, after a meal, just burn 10 calories on a fan bike. What happens? After a meal, take a walk, 20 minutes, get 1,000 steps, whatever. Just playing around with these things and what happens. And I was able to keep my calories up at like around 4,000, and I was able to drop at least 10 pounds by doing that. I did have to dig a little bit after that, but I didn't have to drop anything just by literally opting for more of an insulin sensitive approach and then just taking that into consideration. So have you guys ever thought about that? John, you're the first on my list, man. So have you ever taken an approach like that? Just thinking about getting your steps, but when do you get them?
Right now, I've been trying to get 5,000 steps in before I eat breakfast. Sometimes it makes it kind of late, and then if I'm working in the evening, it's hard to get all the calories in. And I've been experimenting after seeing one of your videos of putting a 20-pound weight vest on while I'm doing my steps. But I
Awesome.
haven't thought about it in terms of like if I do it after meals. The only thing is I'm trying to get my steps in, but at least 5,000 before breakfast.
Yeah. So again, this simple, maybe oversimplified metaphor is, if I can get those engines turning in the morning, they're going to turn better for the entire day, right? And so Steve's able to eat 4,000 to 5,000 calories a day because he's got really healthy engines. They haven't have a bunch of gunk, and this is just literally mitochondria. So like he can have more calories because his engines will just turn and turn and turn and turn faster. So you guys, if you're like, hey, I'm struggling to burn fat, you got to get the engines turning, man. You just got to get it turning. Like imagine like a big boat that's just like stuck. You're like, fuck, I got to get some coal in the engine to start turning the engine, otherwise it's not going to go. In the beginning, you need more. It's like I got to get more stuff through this engine, otherwise I just can't get this thing started. And once you get momentum, you're like, oh, no, I'm good. This is easy, right?
Other cool things too, just by getting the movement in the morning. Like we're all busy guys, right? Like as your day goes on, like the last thing you want to do when your energy's low is try to make a decision and let the decision to do something
Oh,
uncomfortable. It's like you're done.
maybe I should do
It's
this.
no,
Hey,
like
never
you're
happened.
fighting an uphill battle, right? Not gonna
Yeah, never.
happen. But opting for that kind of approach where you're thinking like, hey, I have to make sure that I'm not putting myself into a further calorie debt. I had a client a couple weeks ago, and he was every single week he was like, no, just give me more chance, give me more chance, I'll move, I'll do the thing. And I'm like, no, you're gonna feel it. I need you to feel what it feels like now to go into that calorie debt. And so I brought his calories down by how much he was supposed to move, because we can figure that math out. And then
Right.
he dropped his weight and he was like, this
Yes.
sucks. And now I hate my life, because what happened is exactly what Ben said. He started noticing his weight sucked. He started sleeping like crap. Like everything started cascading. And he was actually amazed by how little he dropped because of how, or in coordination with how much calories he had to actually not eat. He was like, I thought I was going to drop 5 pounds, but I only dropped two, and this, my life sucked.
Man, it's
It's
interesting.
crazy.
So I'm not the calories in, calories out guy, and 25 years of experience tells me that that's a really important factor, but it's not the only factor. So I've been playing with the last, actually it's about 6 weeks now, with a little fat loss phase for myself, and so I'm not moving more. I'm eating less, and I don't fucking lose fat. I just don't. Like, my body just holds on to it. If I keep, so right now my calories are very low for me, 2,500 a day. Normally I'm 3,000, 3,300. That's baseline. So I drop my calories down, which is significant. 800 calorie drop for me is significant, and I'm not losing fat. If I eat 3,300, 3,500 calories a day, and I train hard, and I move, my body gets shredded like this, like fast. Get, not shredded, but lean. It's just funny to see. Like, everyone's like, "Hey, if you just cut the calories, it's gonna have the same effect." I'm like, it just doesn't for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm showing that I have an unstable connection. So if I lose you, just let me know, okay?
You're coming
For
in and out
some
a
reason,
little
I
bit. Let me
don't.
still hear you.
Yeah, it's pretty junky over here. We've gotten a new router and nothing's getting better. But no, like I think that's the reason why we're seeing so many buzzwords pop up in like the women's side of fitness, which is that like the newest one I've seen is metabolic adaptation, and I don't like the words because it comes across very identity driven, and if it comes across almost like it's a condition, and they're not understanding the root cause of this. And it's just like, yeah, it's just problems that happen because you drop your calories, and it's just consistent. So digestion slows, the body finds ways to regulate to try to bring you back in. What I've framed my mind, I'm not sure if it's the right way to frame it. I like to think of calorie deficit as an observation rather than a thing, because people will say things like, I'm in a deficit and I'm not losing weight. And I'm like, then you're not in a deficit. A deficit means that you are losing weight, so you have to take it like that.
No, so that's the thing that with me, right? So I'm in a deficit and I'm not losing weight.
Yeah.
I'm pretty aware of myself. I've done this for a while. And so I think what happens with me is you know, the thing, actually is maybe a useful thing for everyone to think to realize. Do you know the number one thing correlated with people that get in shape quickly? There's one correlate that they found is more correlated with that than anything else with get people getting in shape. One factor. You know what it is? It's called NEAT, non-exercise attributed thermogenesis. So fidgeting, basically. So what you don't notice is happening when your calories drop is you stop doing the little shit. You stop fidgeting, you stop moving, you stop, like, it's not the walks, it's not the exercise, it's not that. Like, that's a factor, because, but if those are kept the same, the thing that makes a difference in fat loss is NEAT. So I don't notice, but maybe my unconscious movement drops. So when my calories are higher, maybe I'm fidgeting, maybe I'm moving more, maybe I'm cleaning the house. But when I drop my calories, I don't notice. Like, I'm pretty aware, self-aware. It just doesn't happen. Like, it's so interesting to watch how different, you know, you could say, oh, you're getting older. I'm like, no, man. Like, I know my body pretty well. So it's just
Yeah.
interesting to observe.
Would that not then mean that you're technically not back or back? Like basically your body has found a way around it, and so it's now come back up to a homeostasis?
Maybe. I don't know, man, because it's such a subject. This basal metabolic rate conversation is really what we're trying to say, right? What's your basal metabolic rate? So is it 3,200 calories? Because prior to the 6 weeks, that was my baseline, and I was there consistently, wasn't gaining, wasn't losing. That was my baseline, 3,200, 3,300. And now it's 800 calories less, and I'm not losing. So did my body adapt really quickly? It's very possible that it did. It's very possible that my body went like, hey, I'm going to slow those engines down so you're not expending any more. You're like, okay. So, like, well, how do we define the calorie deficit then? Like, how many days does it take before my body adapts? Is it 3 days? So then, is a calorie deficit even possible? Because if you're at 3,300 calories and then you go to 3,000 and 3 days later you adapt, and 27 and 3 days later you adapt. So you're like, well, you know, how, and then the question is, well, what's the basal metabolic rate is what I burn in a coma. And you're like, okay, well, am I below that? Like, it's an interesting, you know, I don't think I've heard anyone give a really detailed, complete explanation of this. I don't think anybody has a detailed, complete explanation of it, other than just being dogmatic and saying, well, you got to be below your expenditure. I'm like, I don't think it works. Like, maybe. I mean, I don't know, you know, like, I'm as much of a nerd and expert in this as anybody else. And it just seems so individual how quickly your body adapts and changes. Yeah.
Yeah, like I've seen it a lot with clients as well, where it becomes like 1 week they're just doing perfect, and then something traps. So it would make sense, right? And that's kind of one of the reasons why I wrote up this list, being saying like if we can look at it like these four massive I think that the big pillar items for managing this, then at least you can do what you can do on the daily basis without stressing yourself out, because these things are happening anyways, right? And then next, like, admittedly, the thing that I'm the least versed on would be like the articulations and intricacies of sleep, but making sure that you're opting for it and like paying attention to it. So like if you're looking at stacking your meals again, I know that you've been a big advocate, sorry, of 3 meals before, or sorry, 3 hours before having your last meal, making sure that you're priming your sleep to get optimal for that. And then just getting better cycles and being aware of like REM. I even noticed that when I was at the end of my cut, I hit like 192, and then my sleep went to junk. Asher got a massive ear infection and everything went to crap. And I probably started sleeping like 2 hours a night of actual conclusive sleep. And I shot back up to 202 like the next day. I gained 10 pounds of water and it wouldn't fall off. I remember even looking at myself and I was like, it was just completely like, just, you know, that look. I was like, what is going on? And REM was junk. I wasn't sleeping. So like this stuff matters. Because like at the end of this, we're trying to get consistency, and consistency isn't just in the actions, but it's also in the trackables. So if we're looking at like what's going on with like when we actually can track our progress, are we aware of all these different things that contribute towards weight loss or weight gain? And then just looking at these is like, hey, maybe like what's going on there, right? Sorry, it's just a little distracting. I'm gonna shut my window or my internet keeps on losing. Sorry about that.
No, you're good. So the way to think of sleep across the board here is sleep is your ultimate mode of recovery, and recovery allows you to do everything better the next day, right? That means you get to train better, you get to think better, you get to produce energy better, you get to control your appetite better. And if you don't do that, well, now you're just sort of operating at 80% or 70% or 60%, depending how far removed you are from that high quality sleep. So, okay, well, now the next day I'm burning less calories. I'm more likely to maybe have elevated stress hormones. So, for me, I'm not dogmatic about not eating 3 hours before sleep for my clients. I am for myself usually. Probably like out of every 100 days, there's 2 days where I eat after seven. Most of the time, I won't eat after five. But for some people, it doesn't make a difference. Some people are like, yeah, I'm pretty good. I can eat right before bed and I sleep well. Like, great. And that's, you notice there's, that's genetic, but that's also nervous system stuff. That's hormone stuff. There's a lot of levels there, right? So the biggest change I've made in my life and in my coaching over the last year is understanding people's genetics. And Stevie, what you're saying is interesting. Some people can actually not sleep and not have the same effect the next day as far as insulin resistance and inflammation. So there's people who are sort of immune to that, which is interesting. So you may run into that occasionally in your clients. So there's people like, I don't sleep and I still look great and I still feel great. Perfect. Like, that's not me. Maybe that's not you. But there's definitely people like that. So again, learning individual differences at a genetic level has been very powerful to my ability to, in one way, it brings way more questions because there's no more certainty, right? There's no more like dogma, like, oh, you got to do it this way. I wait for feedback. Well, we look at genes, but we also wait for feedback. Like, okay, what's actually happening? Because if someone gives me feedback, this makes their feedback, in my opinion, exponentially more valuable. So, like, I dig so deep to get questions, and I'm so curious of what's going on. I'm like, okay, I know what that means. That means this. So I understand what's happening inside your body physiologically and biochemically based on your biological feedback. So, yeah, just like navigating that.
Yeah, I've never noticed my strength takes a hit. If anything, for some reason, I always get stronger. I almost have like 9 out of 10 PRs I break after no sleep, which makes no sense. But I look like crap. Like I literally look like a preteen boy who's never. It's like flat and just garbage. So it's a really,
Dude,
really
everyone.
interesting thing.
Yeah, so many people are like
It's
that.
definitely
But
interesting.
so many people will say that they're, and myself included, sometimes the day after training, excuse me, the day after not sleeping or having a huge amount of stress, for whatever reason, is better. And that's not something I can figure out.
Yeah, the main. Makes no sense. Have you guys dealt with actually, buddy? But if you want to take yourself off, have you ever actually noticed anything takes a hit after your sleep, weight loss, performance-wise?
No, I think my sleep actually, my performance
Mike's
actually,
phone.
I have less sleep, or when I don't sleep as well, somehow I end up performing better, like deadlifts, form, and somehow it just comes in tune. Sometimes I'll have like great sleep, 5 out of 5, and I go to the gym. It's like my performance isn't where it needs to be. So it's kind of like a toss up sometimes.
Yeah, similar over here.
Yeah, and it can throw you for a loop too. Like I've been there. I've been like opting for it. Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, no, I was saying similar in my case as well. You know, some mornings you wake up and you feel like maybe you didn't sleep just because you're tired, and then, you know, you get up, you get moving, and you get into the gym, and you end up having a better workout. But that's not with having any trackables. I haven't got anything set up to track yet, so just some input on that, right?
Yeah, so if we think about.
I played with trackables.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nothing crazy. Yeah, I was just saying, like, I've played with the trackables, nothing crazy. I've found they can be beneficial for just kind of, again, gaining consistency with your action items, but I've never noticed a link between any HRV or any like readiness scores in my strength.
Yeah, so what I was going to say is if we think about objectively the variables that may drive performance acutely, right? Today, like what are things that are going to drive it? Well, adrenaline will drive it for sure. Cortisol will impact it. Inflammation will impact it. Oxygen delivery will impact it. So here's the only, if you go down the list of all the potential mechanisms that could be affected when you are unrested, poorly rested, the thing that could be it, this is the only thing I could think of. Is because you're poorly rested, generally your oxygen saturation is going to be lower, right, in your blood. So you have usually have about 98% dissolved, or most 98% of the oxygen in your body is attached to hemoglobin, 2% is dissolved in the plasma. So if we look at a pulse oximeter, most of you guys are going to be 98, 99% oxygen saturation. But if you're poorly slept, you may drop down to 96, 95 just from poor sleep. So you're like, okay, what's happening there? So when your body starts to drop down oxygen saturation, that means CO2 concentration goes up. So what happens there? In fact, even though the oxygen concentration in the blood is less, because CO2 is higher, you may actually be getting more oxygen at the level of the muscle, because carbon dioxide present in the blood is actually the trigger to release oxygen into the tissues where it needs to be used for producing energy. That's the only mechanism I'm like, well, it could be that. It could also be elevated adrenaline. Because if you didn't sleep the night before, your adrenaline's going to be up. I'm like, ah, that could drive it. Those are the only two mechanisms. Like, I always try to think of like, what could be the possible driving mechanism here? Those are the only two I could think of.
That last one makes sense for me at least,
Yep.
because it almost feels like you feel wide-eyed for no reason, and that's the only thing I have going for me. Like, there's no good decisions being made because nothing else makes sense. Like, other times when you feel strong after a well-rested night or something, you feel like the typical things: grip strength, enthusiasm, right? Do these things are high, and you're like, yeah, I feel good. And then the other times you haven't slept, you can, like, nothing makes sense, but like you just keep going. So it's definitely interesting. And like workout intensity being the last thing to kind of make sure they're managing, when you're trying to achieve, you know, like strength, growth and weight loss. Workout intensity is an interesting one because for me, it's a couple things. It's obviously paying attention to how effectively you're still, you know, for lack of a better phrase, like burning calories in your workout, because it does matter. Some people don't track, and then that might mean that your workout got lazy and there goes an extra 200 calories in the day. It also just makes sure that you're keeping your top end strength because you're trying to stave off muscle wasting. And if you don't use it, you're probably not going to keep it, right? If you're not at least paying attention to either driving those hard end sets, or I'm not sure if you want to touch one or maxes, but at least trying to touch 3 to 4 at maxes or something like that to keep that top end strength. But yeah, at the very, very least, you're saying, did I make my weights with reps within 10%? Are you guys paying attention to that when you're doing cuts? John? Mike?
Keeping your weight within 10% of where it was at the max.
Yeah, paying attention to it. And then if something changed, looking back at your variables and saying, like, okay, what went south? Was it my sleep? Did my calories drop? What happened?
I myself haven't done any cuts recently. I have noticed over the last little while when I haven't been up on my diet, maybe I haven't been hitting like maintenance calories or protein's been down or just been a little lazy. Injury, not injury, but little stickies can come in and creep in a bit more. Definitely strength is decreased and just overall energy, right? So that's just something I've noticed.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot actually. I'd like your opinion, Ben. Like, what happens there? Is there something to do with cortisol there, heightened cortisol, as to why people get like little, I don't want to say injuries, but they feel like they're more susceptible towards injury when they diet?
It is. So it's multifactorial. Cortisol is a really big one. When your body's bathing in cortisol all the time, it's a really big one. But also just the lack of calories and generally decreased carbohydrate will decrease hydration at the level of the fascia. So fascia can become sticky. It can become yeah, like gummy almost. So fascia, interestingly, is you know this sheath that envelops all of our muscles. and it's actually a series of microtubules. So these little tubes, and they intersect like this. And so if those tubes become dehydrated, they become sticky and they stick together. So they should slide and move, but they become really sticky. And that's generally what people feel like. Oh, you know, I feel really tight. So the muscles stop losing their ability to glide because they get stuck on the fascia. That's probably most likely what's happening.
This is why I love getting the calls, man. I learn something every single time. That's awesome. I had no idea because like there's a lot of people I've seen they almost start like the first week they start the diet, and it definitely has to do with people who lean into the calories way too soon. But there are always something tweaks or something that usually pulls them out of the diet, and they say I'm done. They don't want to do it anymore, or they try to drop their calories even more because they can't work out intensely.
Totally. And there's a genetic consideration here too, Stevie. So I don't know if you've run your genes yet, but if you haven't, let's get them done. So there's if everyone hasn't done their genes, there's three genes that drive or that code for your adrenaline response. So think of like it's almost like a first one is like the up response, and that's like speed of response and amplitude of response. Some people get a slow adrenaline response. It's a low amplitude, not really that big of a deal. Some people get a fast and a big adrenaline response. Let's imagine somebody walks into the room. Everyone gets a variable response to that. Some people have a really big response. Some people have a small response, and that's genetic. And so, okay, that's interesting. So, and then how about the second one is baseline? Some people have a low baseline. Some people have a high baseline adrenaline, right? So then, some people recycle it quickly or break it down quickly. Some people break it down slowly. So why does that matter? So if I'm someone who's high adrenaline up, high adrenaline baseline, and long time to recover from adrenaline. I basically have more time under the curve. Overall, adrenaline is a catabolic hormone. It drives energy, but it could also drive things like tightness in the muscles. It could drive things like brain fog. It could drive things like dehydration. You know, like so it drives it's sort of that anxiety driver. So anyone who's got that genetic response is going to be more likely to be dehydrated, more likely to be overstressed and overwhelmed, more likely to be anxious. So we may train completely differently. We may approach carbohydrates completely differently with someone who knows that they're more likely to be prone to high amounts of this adrenaline response. And I can see that it's so crazy that I can look at your genetics and I know your personality before I ever get to meet you. In fact, like Stevie, I know your personality. I probably know your genes. Like I'll tell you these three genes, and I'm like, you probably have this, just because I know you relatively well. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have high adrenaline response. You may have a high. I'm not sure. So you may have a long tail. Like it may take a long time for you to break it down, but you're certainly not a high up, and you're certainly not a high baseline. You're sort of like chill. So I'd be very interested to see your genes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it actually. I want to see how much of a deviant I am, or if I'm just like, yep, that's him.
No, man, you're so chill. There's no way. So like,
It'll be
yeah,
funny.
you can see it in people's
That's
personality, man, for sure.
so cool. Yeah, so guys, when you guys are doing a cut, have you ever actually thought about taking an approach like this, or has it only been really ever just like calories, drop them, go? Because I know a lot of guys who do that, and then what ends up happening is they always come at me, especially this last couple months when I was showing a lot of things online. I got a lot of questions from old clients or just friends of mine being like, I don't understand why you're even performing like this. Whenever I do, immediately I'm weak. So like, what's going on there? Is that how you guys feel?
I'm near the end of a cut, and it's like it doesn't want to go down any lower, but I also had surgery a few weeks ago. So it's like trying to figure
What's the
out how do I
surgery on,
get that
John?
wet. What?
What was the surgery on?
They had to open up a stricture in the urethra, and they had in the process they looked at the bladder and the prostate and had to remove a stone.
That'd
So
be
I was wearing a Foley catheter for half a week and just
wow.
recovering from that. I had to take a week off training.
Man, I'm surprised it's just a week, but good for you. That's great.
Sorry, John, were you were saying?
And my DNA got posted yesterday, but I'll go over that with Greg on Monday.
Awesome. Greg's a legend.
What about anybody else? Mike, I just saw you pop on there, man. You ever actually had anything like this? Like during your diets, you ever noticed any things that really worked for you? Anything that we've been talking about that would work
No, I just jumped on. I
for
wasn't
you going
really,
forward?
I just jumped on, so I didn't really catch the beginning of it. But I know for me, doing carnivore worked really, really well.
I lost tons of weight doing carnivore, felt great. It's just something that's kind of hard to stick to for long term, you know?
Yeah, and guys like again, Greg are so insightful as to like the intricacies of why that works for certain people. But in my observations, I've just found that certain things work because people tend to manage these variables better on these types of diets.
Yep, just stick to it.
Do you find the same thing, Ben? Yeah,
Totally.
and it
I
gives them
don't think
energy. It makes them feel good, so they can be consistent, right?
it's easy. It's simple, it's sustainable. I'm like, I don't get cravings because I'm not getting blood sugar fluctuations. It's a great solution. If adherence is the problem, for sure. I don't believe it's a long-term strategy. So I'll say this. I don't believe meat alone is a long-term strategy. I think you have to add in the seeds. I think you have to add in some plants. Otherwise, I think there's going to be a different host of challenges that people are going to experience.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, guys, if you guys are managing, or rather, if you're going through a cut, what I want you to be thinking about, like starting tomorrow, if that's your job, or if you're trying to lose weight and trying to get muscle, like everybody wants like the holy trifecta, right? Get strong, get jacked, and then lose body fat. Diet, digestion, calories, and then working out intensely, consistently. Because like, if you can keep your intensity up, like you can't really always say that if you're getting stronger, you're putting on muscle mass, but it's probably one of the better indicators. And that would kind of bring me to the last thing I want you guys to consider that a lot of people struggle with, because when they're going through a diet inevitably will be for a course of time, and keeping your motivation high is pretty crucial to make sure that you're actually going to sustain this thing. And so people I've found fall off because when they get on this diet for more than, 2, 4 weeks, you start looking like junk. You get flat and you look like crap, and then it becomes not fun. And if you see the scale go up, then it'd be like, oh, it's not even working. Right? So some things to think. What I've noticed, the scale can go up for many reasons, right? Water weight, digestion, edema in your muscles, just swelling alone. Like I've gone up 10 pounds from a leg day before, just from having a carb up day, and you've put on no body fat, sodium intake, and like there's probably 100 other things that would make your weight go up on the scale that have nothing to do with body fat. And if you were to see that after this hard work, looking like junk into this the cut, it can be a little disheartening. So what I would recommend you guys all do, and this is something you can all do starting tomorrow, is leverage things that are more than just the scale. Spren is a great app. Download it, do a body fat scan, do 1 month. DEXAs have kind of lost their high horse. I know that they were really popular, people loved them, but I've been hearing mix and match things lately. So I think that they can still be a tool though. A guy, if you
Yeah,
get
I'm
you know
not
any
familiar with
guys.
that app.
Sorry?
Is that just, I'm not familiar with the app. Is it just like I take a photo and it tells my body fat?
Yeah, it's using AI. So what I've found is that it's not any different than people getting DEXAs, and they can save themselves
Wow, that's huge.
300 bucks. Yeah, it's like I've had people literally do DEXA and then do the Spren, and it's the same. Yeah, so Spren. I don't think it's on Android, but it's on Apple. So you guys can all do a scan right now. So do that. If you can find a good, I'm not sure. It's usually like RMTs or PTs that can do calipers really well. Do that. Take pictures, do measurements, and then track performance. Because if these things are all trending in the right direction, and then you're having like a lull in your weight, you're probably still dropping, right? If you're seeing your waist go down, pictures are looking better, performance is going up, you're probably still dropping. So the Spren app forces me to hire one of their. Does it really? Did it make you pay for it?
I've tried. It's been a month since I last tried, but it's been in the coaching app as a recommendation to do weekly. And I've tried maybe 20 times through different variables, their website, the app, every option I could. I even emailed support, and it just always lands me on a landing page to hire one of their trainers. So I haven't been able to use it once.
Really? No way. I've never had a problem like that. I know that somebody just. John, I think you typed in that like it said like it's typically 3%. You know what the funny thing is though, I find DEXAs are as well. That's what I
Yeah. I think Greg
mean.
said
Like,
that
and
DASH
InBodies
says
are,
it's about
I find
300.
InBodies are just junk.
But I will tell you my experience with sprint. So I had that same problem with it kept wanting me to hire a coach. They have a 7-day free trial, and supposedly afterwards there's a lower price. It's $29.99 a year for just the body scans, et cetera, and a
It's not
higher
bad.
price for coaching. And I've been able to do the scans without signing up for an account ever since I did the 7-day free trial.
I'll try that and I feel a little cheat code you found there. Thank you.
But yeah, manage those things, guys. And like, there's no reason not to, because if you're seeing these things anyways, then you can pretty much track whether or not you're gaining muscle along the process, which is what you want to do to make sure you're being successful. So again, DEXA, SPREN, those things are helpful. Measurements, pictures, 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 pictures. Just get your progress pictures in and then track weights, reps, and yeah, take videos. Ben, you were gonna say something, I
I
think,
have a question
before.
for everybody, actually. So I'd love to know one thing you're challenged with or stuck on, and one thing that you that one win that you've had this week. So like everybody, what's one question, one challenge, or one thing you're stuck on, and then one win for the week. Elias, anything to share?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really connecting with the whole conversation because it kind of the win is kind of like listening to your physiology, listening to your body, like sticking to the program. Like I have the macros with Greg, and I have Chris, kind of coaching me along, and boom, drop 10 pounds. Then we kind of like then I just plateau. Well, diet's still the same. I track it literally every day, but then let's tweak it. Then we kind of change the formula. We have a regimen to go to sleep, regimen to wake up. And all of a sudden, I started maybe doing more carnivore, and then so the win is like just by dropping and switching more meat centric. For like even within a week, I dropped 3 pounds. Now my average went from like 229, 230 pounds down to like 222, just by tweaking the diet and just kind of adding, focusing on the strength and stuff. So the wins are kind of like discovering the way my body works and kind of tweaking the formula and paying attention. I have the metrics here. We're at 24/7, so that helps me kind of like gauge everything as I go along. The diet's the same thing, kind of just keeping track with the numbers. It's like, well, I'm eating well, but I'm not dropping. Or if I notice I gain weight when I eat less, so it's like, okay, so then I work and refocus my macros again, and it kind of lines everything up. So the challenge is always kind of like plateau and then drop a little. So, but it's kind of I'm learning a lot about myself. So I think that's kind of like the win and the challenge at the same time.
Dude,
If
it's a
that.
massive win, and I'll say this: the hard part is interpreting what that information that you're experiencing means. You're like, well, I feel this. What? Because you can start. Don't Google things, right? It's like, oh, Google says this, or ChatGPT says this. Like, hold on. Like, you need a lot. So sometimes it's an integrated system. You're like, well, that this is, and sometimes they're conflicting messages. So you're sort of looking for what message is the most prominent. Like, oh, this one's most important. It's either like what's limiting me the most or what's the biggest signal I'm getting in my body right now. So, man, great on you for learning it. But literally, it's taken me, oh, I don't know, maybe almost 30 years, and I'm still figuring it out. But it's still on the right track.
Yeah, to finish up real quick, I mean, part of the program is like everything is like obviously it's all connected. So I'm feeling well, my sleep is better, my deep in my REM. Now I can feel like I can actually kick ass and go to the gym and still hit my close to like 10% PRs. It's like I'm dropping weight and I feel still feel strong. So it's like it's all kind of like interconnected. So now I'm sleeping better because I'm working out stronger and now my running form is coming back into shape. So it's all kind of like starting to connect. And it's taken, the program since it started in March to get to this point. It's like, and then people are telling me, hey, you don't look as inflamed, you don't look as big and all these things, and you're looking great, and it's like I'm starting to feel it too. So it's been great to kind of learn. It's been a learning, a big, huge learning experience. So it's been awesome.
For you, man.
Yeah.
Does one of the mics want to go? Maybe Michael?
Well, that's literally day one, so I'm gonna go with a win with getting through the 23 sets of 20, because that was bullshit. But for me, I have had a trend in the past 6 months, and I've been doing nothing but cutting. I'm 5'7". I've gone from 201 down to 175 this morning. So it's been 6 days, 2 hours in the gym a week, eating 1850 calories a day. So, I mean, I really am just looking forward to a change and something new and some.
Oh, I think we lost him. He lost his connection. How about you, Mike? Oh, is he back?
Oh, he's back or not? Yeah, for me, just a week and a bit in. Wins for me is just adherence, right? So I've been getting my workouts in. Meals have been getting, I've been getting my meals in. I've been tracking everything. I've been feeling good. I can tell even just after a week, I'm kind of tightening up a little bit, feeling a little bit stronger. And, as for hangups, I do want to put on some weight. I'm 5'11", and sitting right at 197. So I'd like to put on, my goal is to put on 10 pounds in the next 90 days. So that's a good goal for me. But I think a hangup for me might be knowing where I can add my calories. And I'm trying not to add too much junky stuff into, trying to be mindful of like the gene stuff, trying to keep the inflammation down. So yeah, it's just a lot to take in at first. So
So, man, I'll tell you one thing, Mike. Both Steve and I are experts at putting on insane amounts of muscle, both on ourselves and other people. So, if you're ever lacking ways to get more calories in, just ask, man.
yeah.
I didn't get to 325 pounds by accident. It's a lot of work. So, I understand how to hack the calorie intake game because I was consuming 7,000 to 8,000 calories a day, and trying to get that in is just like. You find ways to sneak calories in here and there, and they're not junk calories, right? We're not sneaking Snickers bars. Like, you got to get whole foods in.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I just, yeah, I had Andrew, he set my calories. I didn't really have a baseline of where I was before. So we set him around 3,000 and I've been doing a little bit more than that. But yeah, the weight's slightly staying the same, over the last week. So we'll see where it goes next week.
Are you recording it every day or every week at least, your body weight?
Every day. I do it every day. Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
we'll have a trend over time, right? We'll have a nice trend we can see over time. Because we don't want it to go up too fast, because then it's going to be fat. We want it to go up nice and progressively over time.
Yeah, there's a couple points difference. I use the same scale, same spot, same time after I pee, and try to keep it. Yeah.
Good stuff. Austin, how about yourself, man?
So successes and challenges for me. I've been with you guys for like what, it's approaching 2 years now. I found that, if I stay consistent with the macros I've set, the training, my sleep. Everything happened in the beginning really fast, which was a lot of fun, but now it's just like a slow grind. So everything moves pretty slowly. So the biggest differences that I just keep encountering are injuries.
Which
Like I
one?
just fixed the injury and then a new one happens. So I guess the success is I fixed a shoulder impingement, but now I have a bicep tendon injury.
Same side.
Different side. But the shoulder impingement took about a year working physical therapy, and now it feels great. And then bicep injury just happened like 2 weeks ago.
Man, go to I don't know the guy's name in Tampa. Muscle Activation Techniques Tampa, MAT Tampa. He's over by Organic Garage, not Organic Garage, Rolling Oats. Do you know Rolling Oats?
Okay. No, but I'm sure I'll find it.
Just look up Muscle Activation Techniques Tampa. I forget the guy's name, but go see him, man. I got to believe that guy's going to be a faster lever for you than normal physical therapy. Hopefully nobody's a physical therapist, but I find it not useful.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, I did have another question. You said earlier, you have all the hacks with sneaking in foods. Right now I'm bulking. The protein's not the issue or the fats that come with the protein, but at the end of the day, when I have to eat another 100 grams of carbs and I stare at a bowl of white rice or sweet potato, I hate it. Is there like a palatable, easy way to get in healthy carbs? I've been resorting to cereal and Greg's killing me.
Well, you can do cream of rice cereal. That's a useful one. So, like,
Okay.
here's the hack in the off season, and this is the opposite of what you pre-con does. So, in the off season, we want to consume as many easy to digest foods as possible. So, I shift away from like steak, and I go to ground meat. Away from chicken to ground chicken, or rice to cream of rice, or potatoes. Like, you find things that have lower fiber, are just easier to digest and faster to move through you. Which is literally the complete opposite of what you want to do if you want to lose body fat. But it's sort of the goal, right? So, like, how quickly can I get this meal to, hit my system, spike the aminos, get the calories into me? And so that's sort of the mindset. So I would do cream of rice, add a scoop of, at the, actually, we don't have them right now, but usually there's a company called Nutridyne, and they have a product called organic, excuse me, called Choco Greens, I think.
Okay.
Dude, it's the best. And we used to have it at the gym for the longest time because when I'm there, everybody knows about it because it's literally the best thing in the world. But it's like chocolate flavored greens and reds. So like, basically super greens with some fruits. Oh, it's called Fruits and Greens.
Fruits
If
and greens.
you look up Fruits and Greens, it's a company called Nutridyne. The chocolate and the I think it's called mocha are phenomenal. Just get those, put a little bit on there. You're gonna love your food, man.
So mix that with the cream of rice.
Guys, put a scoop on top.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. John, anything for you, man?
I've got a question, and I guess it has to do with the cut I'm on. I was listening to a podcast, not one of yours, earlier this weekend, and they talked about weighing the meat before it's cooked rather than after it's cooked to figure out caloric content. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Man, I go the other way. I think it's honestly just preference. Whatever you choose, stick with it. The reason I choose after is because a lot of meats have false weight prior to cooking because they'll inject water, they'll inject salt to get things to hold more weight. So after cooking, you've sort of cooked all the water out of it, so it'll tend to be more dry weight. So I tend to go with the after cooking.
And that's what I've been doing. I think I'm just frustrated that to cut that last 5 pounds, it just seems I'm filling out, but the weight's not going down, and I think I'm just a little frustrated.
Yeah, did you hear my little thought around like those little engines?
I did.
Yeah, so like right now your engines are cruising along at whatever rate they're cruising along, and like if you need to burn 5 more pounds, you just need to get those engines moving a little bit faster, a little bit harder. And so the way we do that with what you're doing right now outside walking, nature, grounding, training, food. And so the pace that you walk, if you go 5% faster, maybe you lose that extra 5 pounds, right? If you go like maybe a little more breath work. Breathing is a really useful tool actually to increase caloric expenditure, believe it or not. So like yeah, I would just like maybe just try to increase that effort 5%.
Thank you.
Pleasure, man. Michael, anything you want to finish up on, man? I know you were you started, you got cut off.
No, I don't think so, man. I'm just happy to be here with you guys and looking forward to working with you all and making it happen.
Yeah, man, welcome. I saw your name come through yesterday. I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing you. So, thanks for being here, gents. I'm not sure who iPhone 14 is, whoever you are. If you have any thoughts or questions, if you want to unmute. But if not, Steve, anything you want to close on?
No, man. I just wanted to make sure that these guys can understand, like, if you want to leverage this stuff, just write in the chat, guys, like in the what I think it's WhatsApp, right? Like leverage the community, drop questions there with this kind of stuff. Cause what I just find, seeing clients go through it is that it's all about momentum. Like when you're on, you're on, when you're dialed in and knowing the feeling of being dialed in, it's just about managing these variables. And then it can spin the other way just as fast. And then people feel like they're not able to get traction. And it's just about, again, being able to be more aware of what these variables are and how they play a role in the process for yourself.
Love it. Well, Steve, thanks for taking the lead today, man. Guys, sorry about the mix-up on location and stuff like that, but I'm glad we all worked it out. It's wonderful to always see you guys, and we'll see you here next Wednesday. I'm not sure who's teaching, but I'll be here, so I look forward to seeing you guys then. Please bring all your questions. Anything you guys got, I'd love to support you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Ben.
Yes.